I want to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be reading the entire chapter this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Shall we pray? Loving Father, that you may bless your word to our hearts, that you may instruct us according to the word of God, and give us full assurance of faith in all these things, that we might live spiritual lives and not carnal. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we find that Paul gives an admonition to the Corinthian church on the basis that he says they are still carnal. That is, they are still worldly, that they have not grown sufficiently, and that their faith is yet needing much work to reflect the true blessings of God, according to verse 22 and verse 23, where he tells them that they need to give themselves over to Christ more fully. Beginning in verses 1 through 8 here, we have the sense that the Corinthian church is still very worldly. It is a picture of a worldly church. Now, as much as we have Ephesus, which seems to be a very doctrinally sound church, and we have here the church of Corinth, which seems to be a very worldly church, there seems to be reflected among all churches some sense of a spiritual life. And the spiritual life in this particular church was wanting. And he says to them, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." And so when he talks about being spiritual, it is to be of the Spirit of God. And it is to rely upon the Spirit of God. As the word for spirit is pneuma, this word is pneumatikos, and it is a word which, in this sense, stated negatively, "And I, brethren, could not write unto you as spiritual," because they were not living spiritually. It's a very important thing for us to walk in the Spirit, especially as we are faced with certain trials and circumstances, whether it be individually or whether it be a church in a corporate body. We are still called upon to walk spiritually, live spiritually, and not to act like the world in the things that we do. Therefore, when we are faced with problems, whether it be a trial or some difficulty, maybe a chastening, or whether it be some more practical area, such as we have been talking about in the sense of financial needs, God expects us to behave spiritually. He wants us to behave spiritually. In fact, it is necessary that we behave spiritually, because if we do not behave spiritually, whether it's in trials or tribulations or health or chastenings or in practical areas of church needs, then we are behaving carnally. There's only two views given. Either one is behaving spiritually or one is behaving carnally. And so we must consider that, as Paul was also talking to the church at Corinth, saying to them that they were behaving carnally. He says, "But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, they had been taught much by Paul, and probably by Peter, and probably also by Apollos, as we know that there were some sects among them who wanted to be of this particular group, of that particular group, and so it doesn't seem that they had advanced beyond being babes in Christ, being a novice. A novice is someone newly come to the Lord. And this church should have been well beyond that, especially where it comes to leadership and to the membership of the church, the people who are attending the church on a regular basis, claiming to be believers. He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Now, he had fed them with milk. He wanted to feed them with the meat of the Word of God, with the deeper things, the more spiritual truths, but they were not able to bear it. And so he makes the pronouncement. He says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" There, the evidence of these believers in Corinth was that they were envying one another. They had strife among them, their body of believers. They had division among their assembly. And he says that they were carnal. And when he talks about their carnal nature, it was a fleshly nature. And he says, "Your walk is as other men in the world." Your walk is as even as mankind. it was not a spiritual walk. As Christians, I think it's most difficult for us sometimes because we are influenced by the old nature. And the old nature wants to have its way, and moreover, sometimes it gets its own way. Paul says, that which I would do, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. Even Paul had his difficulties. He had a thorn in the flesh. We aren't sure what it was, but whatever it was, it was a constant problem for him. And he had to trust in God, and it seemed that the Lord told him that it was a buffeting of Satan. And we find that many times we are buffeted, that we are subject to our adversary. And so what do we do about this whole thing? As he is talking here to the church at Corinth, and all scripture is meant for our application, what do we do when we are faced with certain circumstances where we can either act spiritually or act carnally? What do we do? Well, first thing we do, of course, is to live and act according to the Spirit. And sometimes that means to override the will of the flesh. It means to override it. We have to yield ourselves rather to the Spirit rather than to the actions of the flesh, the fleshly desires which we sometimes have. And that isn't talking just about physical desires here. We are a complex creation of God. God has made us emotion, intellect, and will. God has made us body, soul, and spirit. We are complex in our makeup, and we are attacked on many fronts. And sometimes, you know, it's just moreover probably our own old nature which is an affront to us, which seems to be the biggest problem. Ed Seeley said to me once when I was talking to him, he was visiting us on one of his occasions, and he said that the older he gets, the more he seems to think that it isn't the world, the flesh, and the devil that bothers him so much as it is the flesh, the world, and the devil. The flesh is a big problem. The flesh is the part of us which drives us more significantly than we like to realize. And the church at Corinth was being driven in this way. And that's why Paul says to them that they were carnal rather than spiritual. They were acting carnally. They were walking as mankind out in the world. And they were not acting as spiritual believers. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, he puts it to them. He says, aren't you being carnal when you make these divisions and strifes and envies among you? In verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? And so we find that his admonitions were very strong admonitions. And I think that it is good for us to understand that we are faced daily with these two opposites, the spiritual and the worldly. We're faced with these constantly. And it is a problem that each of us, of course, has to deal with as best that we can. But the sooner that we yield to the Spirit rather than to the flesh, we become overcomers rather than become subject to the carnal nature. Well, let's go on here where Paul again continues to speak to them, saying that God alone counts in Christian service. God alone, he says. He says in verse 5, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." What was the church at Corinth doing? They were lifting up one person over another. They were saying they would follow one person rather than another person. They were really crediting man more than God. When you stop and think about it, this is what they were doing. They were crediting man more than God because they were lifting up these different people. Apollos or Paul or Peter or Christ. Well, Christ, we would say, yes, let us lift up the Lord. But perhaps those who said they were following Christ were proud. It doesn't seem to be they were so spiritual. Paul doesn't seem to say they were. It seems to be that the whole lot of them were carnal and not spiritual. Now, who is it that gives increase in the church? It is God. It is God who giveth the increase. The church today is a market-driven church. When you look at the churches in our country today, the big successful churches, by and large, these mega churches are market-driven. That is the program they're running on. You don't go into a community and build a million-dollar complex without being market-driven. You have a big checkbook, and you have a big program where you're raising money, and you are marketing to people. And once you have built this great big beast, you've got to feed it. You've got to make sure it has plenty of money to operate, or else it's going to go down and sink like a ton of lead. And it is many of these mega churches are purely operating on a market basis. They're producing a product and they want to sell it. And if you are willing to come and buy it, they will give you more of the same. And just as soon as they find out that the product has changed, what you want is changed, they will change their product and they will sell you that one. And this is the way these churches operate. Small local churches like this do not operate on that basis. Small churches who are biblically based do not operate on the market system. They operate on the spiritual faith, walk of faith. We want believers in this building. The unsaved are not going to come to this building and fill these pews, not unless God is bringing a revival upon the hearts of people. We want believers in this building who are like-minded, of like faith and like spirit, and want to honor God and live for God and give God the glory and use whatever they have for the glory of God and serve God. That's the kind of people we are looking for. And that's why we are so few a people. That's why we are so few. Now, obviously, it goes to population as well, but yet even the town of Effingham, I don't know what it has in it for population, maybe 1,500, 2,000, something like that perhaps. But out of 2,000 people, I'm sure there's more than 10 who would be believers, which only goes to show to us that people operate on different levels, either in their walk of faith or in their spiritual life. And perhaps there would be many more believers in Effingham that could come here if they wanted to, but they choose not to, and perhaps they go someplace else, and that's okay. God is in that business of putting people where he wants them to. But my whole emphasis here is that we must understand that God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one. And that is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. God is the one who gives the increase. It isn't him. It wasn't Apollos. It wasn't Peter. No, it is God who gives the increase. One plants and another waters, and God gives the increase. And so, obviously, the natural application to this is we should keep planting and watering and let God give the increase, as he would. And that in itself is a spiritual practice and not a carnal practice, by the way. That is a spiritual practice when we do that. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so it is that God is the one who plants and waters and will bring forth the increase. Or we might just throw in here, why do churches fail? Oh, I'll tell you now, the reason why churches fail isn't because of the checkbook. That is not the reason. There are many, many well-to-do churches who are nothing but historical monuments to a community. And that is all they are. And they failed many, many years ago before somebody took them over and made them a historical place of interest. But as believers, we're not in the business of being historical buildings. We're in the business of being of the historic faith in Jesus Christ and honoring God and walking in the Spirit and living spiritual and not carnal. Now, what is it then that makes churches fail? Well, I guess we would have to say certainly to live carnally may add to that greatly. Because God is interested in the Spirit. The second thing, of course, may be that the ground is full of dearth. If you read anything about the parable of the sower, it was the type of ground that the sower sowed upon, whether or not there was any increase. It was not the fault of the seed. We've been here planting the seed for many years. It is not the fault of the seed that we are planting. Therefore, it is either a carnal church that fails, or it is a community of dearth, of desert, where the seed will not take root, because the hearts of people are hard and thorny and wayside and stony ground, and they are not good ground. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? Should we just give up? No, that isn't what I'm saying. I'm just saying we need to recognize the true things that build a church, because the true church of Jesus Christ are you and I as believers. And so we must act according to the Spirit of God, and we must walk according to the Spirit of God and not carnally according to the world, because the world is going to be the world. You cannot change the world, but we can trust in God as we plant and as we water, and God will give the increase. The third area that he mentions here is foundation. He tells about, he says they are not spiritual, they are carnal. He says, it's not your problem. God is the one who has to give the increase. You can't just use a market-driven plan and support the best orator among you, such as Apollos might be the best orator, as they were sect-driven. No, he says, this is what you have to recognize. If you're going to be spiritual, then you must have used the right foundation. And the right foundation is Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in verse 11. Well, let's start with verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth upon that foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We must make sure we're building upon the right foundation as a church. We must build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we serve the Lord, whether it be in nursing home ministry, whether it be vacation Bible school, whether it be regular order of services, whether it be those outside activities you might be involved in, Dare to Care ministries, or as Edith goes out on Meals on Wheels, or we have contact with other people in the community, just all kinds of things that we can do. We must make sure that those things are upon the basis of our true foundation, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And now this flies in the face of everything that the world says, by the way. The world would not say this. The world would say, oh, well, you better drop the word Jesus. And you better pick up the word community and just say, oh, we're community driven. And you better drop the word gospel. And you better pick up the word, well, we like to fellowship with one another. And you better not use the scriptures too much. You better drop that. You better say, well, we're trying to encourage you with positive thinking. Some positive words. You ever notice that the verbiage and the language, the vocabulary of the world is not very fitting to the Bible? The Bible says something altogether different. And we find that this is the text that we need to stick to. The other things that I mentioned are okay in the world. They belong there. It is what encourages people in the world. It's what encourages carnal people. And that's okay out there. But when we come to do business for God, we have to keep our foundation in view. We have to know that Jesus is the one that we serve, and we build upon him. And he becomes our master builder. In verse 12, now, if any man build upon this foundation, speaking of Jesus, gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, we see all these different building materials here. Some of them are pretty impressive, and others are not so impressive. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. So when you put these materials to the test, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, they stand up much better than wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, which are of the world, and we might call them carnal, and the precious gold, silver, and precious stone we might call spiritual. And he says, comparing the two, one stands up very well, and the other one gets burned up, and it is gone. And so he's saying to them at Corinth, he says, you're acting carnally, so the things that you're building is carnal. It's all wood and hay and stubble. It's not going to last. Paul's going to die. Apollos will go away someday and retire somewhere off in the countryside. Peter, he's going to be crucified on the cross. And these people won't be around. The only one that's going to last is Jesus. Jesus Christ. And we must trust in the one that counts. All others become servants of the Lord. And so he challenges them, if you will, to trust in God, to trust in the one who is the true foundation. In verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, again, he calls us to recognize that if we're going to be servants, we must use the right kind of building materials. If we're going to build for the Lord, we must use those things that are going to be blessed of him. But he says, in the end, if a person does not, they'll still be saved, but it will be through the fires of judgment. In other words, every man's work shall be tried to see what kind of work it has been, whether or not they will be rewarded, if you will, rewarded for the things that they have done for God. And so it is better to build with the spiritual than with the carnal. In verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So as he touches on this area, this last area here, this of the results of ministry, he says it's more important to build according to the Spirit. It's more important to recognize the Spirit of God dwells in us, and that we should not be living to the carnal, to the worldly, because God has placed His Spirit in us, and we are to trust in that. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Now, this is an unusual statement, perhaps, but of course, again, he's contrasting the wisdom of the world with the wisdom which is of God. And he says, you better ditch the world and take up the wisdom of God, because that's the only one that really counts. In verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. I like this end because he brings a true confirmation of things that are of the Spirit to those who believe. He says, those who are of the Spirit recognize that all things are truly ours in Christ. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, all things are, or things to come, are all yours. God has made us to be recipients of His grace and mercy. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. And that is the true spiritual outcome of those who live spiritually, is that we recognize that. And we live according to the Spirit. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank You that Your blessing comes through Your Word so powerfully to us. I pray, minister it to our hearts. And we thank You for Your word to us, that we are much encouraged in it. In Jesus' name, amen.